tonight as I hear the word. My faith will be energized. I confess I'll not only hear it, I'm going to do it. Because I hear it and I do it, my life won't stay the same. Thank you, Lord, for your life-changing, ever-living, miracle-working word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I know we've been trying to be sure that we reach all the coordinators and leaders, elders, and we had a leadership meeting that is scheduled for tomorrow night at 7. We had several, including Scott is fighting the fight of faith against the flu, and so we have postponed that meeting. If Debbie hasn't reached you yet, we're trying to get the word to everybody. Postpone that meeting to the to Sunday the 8th. Is that right? It's a Sunday afternoon, okay? Give everybody time to get all well and get strong and get ready for that, okay? So all of the coordinators and leaders, if you please make a note of that. And if you have a, you know, your compadre, friend, whatever, coordinator, leader, help us get the word out, okay? Praise the Lord. Yes, we do. We stand against that. The flu, the virus, all that junk. Praise God, the redeemed of the Lord are redeemed. We're supposed to say we're redeemed. So let's say we are redeemed. There's no weapon formed against us. Monica's giving me scriptures up here. It's formed against us will prosper. This is the heritage. This is our right. Praise God. So we claim those things strongly by faith. The way that you overcome in this world today is through the use and the proclamation of my word, which says these things belong to you, therefore stand against them strongly in the power of the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand against them. Amen. The power of the word. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Could you go there, please? And let's read a few passages together. We're going to study scripture here for a little bit, give a thought to you. Ephesians 4, let's begin in verse 11, and we'll read down through verse 15. This kind of is our jumping off point. Ephesians 4, it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, full grown, attaining to the full or the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That being somewhat of a definition for us of what it means to be mature in the Lord, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's a goal that we press for. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Verse 15, instead, the inference is instead, here's what we'll be doing. We'll be speaking the truth in love, and we will in all things, say all things, we will in all things, God bless you, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Praise the Lord. We will in all things grow up into him. Amen. Just for me, of late, I've really been drawn to go back and I've been, you know, just to relook, to restudy, to go through and to just rehearse many of the teachings of some of our early teachers in the word for me, you know, because I came to know the Lord really strongly and back in the mid-70s, and we were going to Assembly of God Church and then to an independent church, but you know, I was kind of out of a Pentecostal background as a child. I was just kind of thrown into this environment of what came to be known as the word and faith, you know, and so anyway, but just refreshing myself, that's my heritage. That's where I came back from. But I've just been drawn to go back and refresh myself in a lot of those fundamentals, the key doctrines of truths of the Word and the Holy Spirit and faith, the life of faith. You know, I guess as far as, of course, I still call them tapes, you know. They don't call it tapes anymore, but, you know, it's getting harder and harder to find something to play all my tapes on. But anyway, people like Brother Hagin, people like Brother Sumrall, and Brother John Osteen, some of you are familiar with some of their teaching. Newer generation has no idea who some of those people are. And I hope that we don't lose some of those wonderful truths that God gave us, you know, and through some of these great men of faith. But it seemed like, as you look at it, that many, for almost every one of those the teachers that I came up under, you know, there was some area of a specialty. There was some aspect, some facet of truth that kind of set them, you know. It was kind of like their mission, their goal, you know, to share that. And that aspect of revelation that they had brought a new dimension of spiritual reality into our lives as we would adhere to. For example, you know, you can't think of Brother Hagin without thinking of faith, you know, the message of faith. How many times have I heard him preach, you know, from Mark chapter 11? I mean, that's just like you knew if he was going to get up before it was over. At some point, you're going to get into Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, 24, 25, probably 26. You know, you're going to go in there, have faith in God and what that meant and how that changed our life. And then in the confession of our words and the importance of our words and the authority that God has invested into the name of Jesus. And those things were just so powerful. Growing up, I really didn't know them. Keeping in mind, now listen though, keeping in mind that when you bring up people, you know, in that era and names of that, you never put a man on thrones. We do not put, don't put people on thrones, you know, because and particularly, I mean, with anyone, you just don't know. We want to believe everything that everyone says, but we try things against the Word. And for even some of our, what I would call, you know, some of my mentors, fathers in the faith, there are things, certain aspects of the teachings for which, you know, we don't teach. There's certain things that Brother Hagin or Brother Copeland or some Brother Capps, you know, are just strong person on the Word of God. And, you know, but they're not defensible. How do I put that? I'm trying to be real polite here. Praise the Lord. But, you know, you don't put somebody up on a pedestal or a throne, but you gain. There's so many things that we gain from different ones if we will ask the Holy Spirit to help us to know. For example, you know, and I'll just touch this one because it has come up once in a while, and you know, is a maybe a point that needs to be touched on too. For example, there's a, you know, the doctrine that some of quote Word in faith ministers adhere to, preach, propagate, you know, is the one of Jesus having to die spiritually. Jesus died spiritually, not only physically, but he died spiritually, became a sinner, went to hell, suffered in hell as a sinner for 3 days in order to purchase redemption. Okay, you know, I can't find that as a defensible doctrine. If you believe that, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fuss with you about it, but I can't find that as a defensible doctrine in the Scriptures. It's not provable because, you know, we can also say, well, we have Scripture for that. Well, I can also show you a whole arms-long list of Scriptures that shows us that we are, our redemption was accomplished through His shed blood. The blood of Jesus, praise the Lord, is what paid it. Anyway, but moving along, that doesn't mean that you throw out everything, you know, that someone teaches. For example, I don't think I would have known the message of faith in God and the life of faith and how to live victorious in the life of faith had I not heard Brother Hagin preaching. I mean, it changed my life. I don't think I would have known. God used Brother Copeland's ministry to on the message of righteousness to literally change my life, you know, and knowing that I've been made the righteous God in Christ. I was brought up in works. You know, you work, and hopefully you can get good enough some way. You know, you've heard my testimony to some degree. I learned about authority, and I learned about the power of the name of Jesus and authority over Satan from people like Dr. Sumrall, Dr. Lester Sumrall. You know, I mean, there's a man that was just about as strong in faith. All these guys, that we've mentioned so far, they've all gone to heaven now. They're getting their reward before the throne. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. For Brother Osteen, I mean, how many of us in here didn't learn something from Dr. Osteen, John Osteen? You know, my goodness. I miss some of the, I've missed our generals. And from you take our Baptist brothers, many of them, I've learned the doctrines of love and evangelism and so many things, not while at the same time not adhering to a Calvinist doctrine, to the Calvinist doctrine. I don't adhere. I don't think it's defensible by the scriptures. You know, here again, this is not about arguing with doctrines, but you know, we learn so much as we look into the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is so good to us. He'll help you to eat the watermelon and spit out the seeds. Hallelujah! You don't have to eat the seeds. You know, you can just, you know, just, y'all know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. But back to my original point of restudying. Okay. Like with Brother Hagin, how can we not be so thankful, you know, as I read back through some of those little books and listen to those tapes of the message of faith. We just finished a series, you know, on how to fight the good fight of faith. And I hope that it encouraged you. But the principles that we learned from him. Tonight, I want to start, and I think it'll take me at least two sessions here, but to revisit another one of these are foundational truths, basic truths, but we use them to build our life in Christ upon. And so what I want to talk to you about is to give you some principles that we have to know in order to grow up spiritually, to grow in the Lord. Surely we all realize that God's intent for us is not just salvation. That is so important. But that's just the beginning, right, of our lives. That's where we start this journey, this spiritual journey. God intends for us to grow. He intends for us to grow. And, of course, God's intention is stated there in that scripture, one of those verses that we read tonight, beginning in verse 13. Notice he said he gave, you know, the five-faceted ministry of Jesus. And he says in verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, God's intention and his desire is that we become mature. And we certainly don't start out that way. We've not attained to it yet. He says, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So we have to know that God's intent for us is to grow. We are to grow in knowledge of God and his word, and we're to grow in relationship and other ways that it could be described. But salvation is just the place of starting, and that's the beginning. Praise the Lord. That's the new birth is just that. It's a new birth. What's something that's newly born? It's a baby, right? I mean, something newly born's a baby. So that's where we are. And just maybe it's my perspective. I don't know, but maybe it is. But it just seems like we have more and more a need in the body of Christ for believers to take serious the fact that they need to grow up. We need to grow up. That should be one of our pursuits in life, is to really grow up in the Lord and in the ways of God, because there are a lot of babies, and I'm not always just talking about new converts. You expect a new convert to be a baby. Praise the Lord, they've just been born again, come into the kingdom of God. But sometimes it's not just babies, you know, that baby converts, I should say, that are babies. You know, sometimes it's we've got some older babies. we got some. Anyway, moving along here, praise God. And then if we don't, if we're not guarding ourselves and, you know, really keeping our focus in this busy world that we live in, you can become a somewhat mature believer. But you can, like, enter your second childhood. You know, how that happens sometimes. Older believers slide back and begin to get so occupied with other things until, you know. So anyway, we need these refresher courses from time to time. I was just thinking on that, and some scriptures jumped up at me, because I was thinking of how often, even all these years ago, that the Apostle Paul and the other apostles encouraged the church, even in that time, that they had to go back and refresh, to check yourself if you're in the faith, to refresh themselves in the doctrines that. For example, Paul would go in and he would preach them and he would teach them. And then he would say, what are you doing? You know, and he'd have to write them another letter. What are you doing? How did you veer so far from what the gospel that was shared with you? The writer of Hebrews in the 5th chapter says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, he said, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God. So just saying, look, we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be rerooted, regrounded. Sometimes we might get root bound. You ever had a plant that was really just a really growing by the, and it got root bound? What happens to it? It becomes stunted. It becomes diseased. I mean, and it will literally die. But you gotta trim it back. Colossians, Paul said to the church there at Colossae, he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You received him, born again. Now walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Rooted, built up, increasing, growing, established in the faith as you have been taught, abiding in it with thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and say, Lord, that's me. I want to abide in it. Praise the Lord with thanksgiving. I want to abide in the faith with thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you. Cheat you. There's a cheater out there. There's a cheater out there through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. That's the struggle in it, to pull us back from the world's view. Or the scriptures view, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Peter, he encouraged the believers. He said to rid yourselves of malice and deceit and all these things. And then he said, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk. Amen. Now, the scripture that we begin with in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul here, he reiterates, first of all, how that when Jesus ascended up on high, he gave gifts to men. He gave the five faceted ministry gifts to men. And we could teach a lesson on that, and, you know, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But my point is, why did Jesus do this? Well, first of all, he says he did it, I think King James says, for perfecting of the saints. The NIV is to prepare God's people for works of service, to prepare us. And then he says, and this is until the unity of the faith, until we all reach unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and we become mature. So these are the reasons that he did it, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. So then we see that God's intention here is that we grow up into all things. The last part that we read there was we grow up into all things into Christ. So tonight, I just want to start out giving you for discussion some spiritual disciplines that we have to know if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to grow up spiritually. Now, we all do pretty good in the physical. You know, you're growing up. Some of us have grown really up and out. But we want to grow up in the things of the Spirit. Amen? So spiritual disciplines, this is what we're talking about, that create spiritual growth. First one, if you're taking notes, write this down. The first spiritual discipline is you have to learn how to forget. Learn to forget. And this is a spiritual discipline. I remember one time I was just sharing real, you know, I'm really encouraging a brother, you know, and the Lord's a good Christian, he's having a hard time, and I'm just talking to him about spiritual discipline, you know, this, and And just so sweetly and kind of innocently, he said, Pastor, I have no idea what a spiritual discipline is. I said, excuse me, I have to go back to the beginning. What is a spiritual discipline? You know, that being a habit or a behavior, some habit or behavior that we have that enhances spiritual growth. It empowers us or enables us to grow spiritually. That's a spiritual discipline. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. Faith is a discipline. Love is a spiritual discipline. So these are things where we discipline our flesh to do this. The first one that I wanted to talk to you a few minutes about is this learning to forget, which is kind of an odd one because most of us here are struggling to try to enhance our ability to remember. Amen. And then here I'm telling you that you need to remember to make a habit to forget. Of course, we're talking about two different things here. But in the forgetting side, you know, I think sometimes it seems like I have that one down, you know, but in the wrong way, not from what we're talking about here in a spiritual sense. But does it ever frustrate you? You know, it frustrates me. I'll think of a list or I'll think of a thing, you know, and before I can get it written down, I've learned I have to write it down, you know. I'm talking about in the natural. I have to write it down. I have to make, you know, or I'm in the other room trying to remember. What was it? Why did I come in this room? I do not remember. What was I after? It was so important, I know. But anyway, that's a frustration that's over here on another side. But we're talking about the spiritual difference, the spiritual discipline of learning to forget. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3, and let's just see how this works in the life of a believer as we are pursuing growing up in the Lord, becoming mature. Of course, our goal being coming into the fullness of the full measure of Christ. It's so far out there sometimes. You know, we think we can never attain it, but praise the Lord. That's our goal. We're shooting for that. Philippians chapter 3, okay? Now let's just see how this comes about. And what does this have to do with maturity? What does that have to do? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Well, beginning in verse 13, Philippians 3, the Paul teaches us. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." Just quickly, I haven't grabbed hold of everything. I haven't learned everything yet. I'm not at the top. I'm not perfected yet. He is, after serving the Lord all these years, I don't know it all yet. That's basically what he's trying to say here. I do not count myself to have apprehended, to grab hold of everything. But one thing I do. To me, you say, like, I don't know it all, but there's one thing I do know. This is one thing that I can, you know, this is one thing that I do. Then he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting. Removing from my mind, removing from my thought processes. In my Greek dictionary, it said to neglect something and to ignore it. Get it out of my mind. Forgetting the things that are in the rear, reaching forward to the things which are ahead, stretching ever outward, stretching outward. Outward. Everybody say outward. Looking forward. Looking forward. Oh, that God would help us to realize that we are to live prophetically. Live in the prophetic. Live in that which has not yet come to pass, yet God has said is for you. Hallelujah. Forgetting yesterday even, I'm looking forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press for the goal. I press, that's my aim. There's a prize there's a prize of that upward. The prize is the upward of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, now watch this. Verse 15 is important. It ties right into here. It's not another subject. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature. What did King James say there? Did somebody read the King James? Huh? Perfect. As many as are perfect. Well, as many as mature, you're grown. You've come to some level of maturity, growth spiritually. As many as are mature have this mind. This is the mind that God wants you to have. As many as are mature have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, if any of you feel you don't feel this, you don't feel this way, you don't. May God reveal it to you. As many as are mature think this way. To think or to grow spiritually, this is one of the habits, one of the disciplines I believe that we have to have. Notice that even after years of serving the Lord, the Apostle Paul is still actively pursuing this spiritual discipline to retrain himself to focus in the forward. Focus on the forward. Yes, we recall our testimonies. Yes, we thank God for the things that he's done. Yes, we remember where we've come from. But praise the Lord, our life is to focus on what God has and what God is taking us to. Amen? Praise the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, what is it talking about? Learning to forget. Learning to forget. You know, one of the wonders of the salvation experience is that we are born again, right? That's, Jesus said, you must be born again. It's a born-again experience. And when we are born again, we are made new creatures, right? We're made a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Then the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I think it is, it says that old things pass away, they're passed away, and behold, all things of this new creature, all things of this new life become new. Praise the Lord. Old things pass away. Well, the old things that pass away includes before Christ, includes all the sins that we've ever committed. It includes the memories. It includes the weight. It includes the chains of all of the despicable things that we committed or we thought about. It includes any wickedness or any, iniquities that were on our life. All of those things are part of old things that pass away. All the itsy-bitsy little things that we did that kind of embarrassed us a little bit. And also all of the big, ugly things that we may have done or we did that went beyond embarrassment, you know, it went into shame, and the whole thing, you know. Things that you may not ever even want anybody else to know but God, you know, and God knew them already when we confessed them to the Lord. There are things that caused us pain or caused us regrets. But the Bible says that when we are born again, in God's eyes, all things are looked upon as new. It's one of the wonders of salvation, one of the marvels of the new birth. Praise the Lord. I don't think we sometimes fully comprehend that. In the mind of God, all things are new. In the mind of God, all things are washed away. In the mind of God, those things are never to be brought up again. They're forgotten. God doesn't think about those things. They are new. Everybody say they are new. But how many of you know that as long as we keep them and retain them in our thoughts, they will affect your spiritual growth? How many of you know that as long as the enemy is able to keep you in a consciousness of those past things, your errors, your failures, your mistakes, you know, this happened, that happened, this divorce, that I made this, I went to jail, I did this hideous thing. As long as the devil is able to keep those things in us, they are a part, they're still a part of the new life. Not because God has done it, but because we retain them. We retain them in our minds. And though our spirit may be as clean as the fresh snow, in our minds we pollute them by remembering these things. Therefore, they affect the way we think. They affect our decisions. They affect our actions. They affect the way we relate to people. They affect our relationships. They affect us in so many ways. And they then hinder us. They hinder us from growing spiritually. They hinder our faith. They hinder us from having confidence with God. They hinder us from realizing who God sees you as. Who God says you are. Well, God can't see me as that because I see me as this. Are you with me? You have to learn. I'm talking to you about learning to forget. Amen. All of us have had a life before Christ, right? Everybody. Praise the Lord. You're born in sin. All of us were sinners. And some of us sinned better than others, or more than others, or deeper than others. But all of us sinned. We're all sinners before we came to the Lord. Then all of us have failed since we came to the Lord. Is that right? All of us have failed. We've all even all of us have even sinned, you know, since we came to the Lord. The Bible says this in 1 John. In one place it says that if you say you have no sin, you're telling a lie. The truth's not in you. If you say you have no, what is he talking about there? If you say you have no sin, he's saying it says you're deceived. He says he's saying to us if we are so naive as to say we have already reached perfection, we are deceived. Even though we may be, and that verse is written, 1 John, the first chapter, is written to believers. It wasn't written to sinners. It's written to believers. If you say that you've reached that perfection, now stay with me. I have a point I want to make here, and I think it'll bless you. If we say that we have no sin, truth's not in us. Amen. So he says, don't deceive yourself. How many of you know that even in the times when you thought you were your best, when you thought you were doing so, I mean, you were doing everything right. Who, man, got it together that as you grew spiritually and you looked back on your past experiences here, your life in Christ, that you then realize, having grown spiritually, that you didn't have it all as all together as you thought you did. Is anybody in here ever seen that? It's besides me. I mean, dear goodness. I mean, in my personal life, you know, you thought, well, man, I'm just pursuing God, doing good, everything. God's blessing, praise the Lord. And then you grow for 2 or 3 years and you realize, I know in my personal life, and I also know, you know, from in the ministry, and looking back as a pastor, you know, just in those times, sincerely trying to do good, praying, following the Holy Ghost, doing whatever, you know. But then you look back and you say, oh my, how immature I was. And to some, to, you know, makes you want to blush sometimes. I'm not going to rehearse with you some of those experiences that I have had to look at, you know. And I would say, but I'm a pastor. Well, yeah, you've been an immature pastor too. You know what I'm saying? I mean, sometimes at our very best, when we grow, then we realize, wait a minute, I wasn't near as perfect then as I thought I was. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, didn't kick you out, did He? Some of us were. Now, it's strictly talking about sin. Sin is to miss the mark. Sin doesn't mean you kill somebody necessarily. I mean, sin is to miss the mark of perfection. God is perfect. God is holy. So we say, even in those times, you know, when we think, wow, I thought I was just right, and I had sin of selfishness. I may have had the sin of greed, something going on. The anger? Come on. Amen. But here, you know, I have got to learn that I have got to forget those things. I need to learn how to forget. Forget the sins. Actually, there's a BC, there's an AC, and there's an RN. Okay, you say BC? You're not going to say that with me? BC, AC, after Christ, and an RN. Right now, that's right. Right now, there's the right now. Yeah. So, you know, when I look at this thing, before Christ, yeah, we're all born sin, we're all sinners. So we come to Christ, and actually, it's not so much of us asking Jesus to forgive us of our sins, because the truth of the matter is he's already forgiven us of our sin. Actually, what it is we are confessing our Savior and accepting him into our life, and we're born again when we do that. We accept our Savior because he paid for your sins on the cross. That's the time to say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He paid for him on the cross. So thank you, Lord. He's paid for the sin. Amen. So what is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10? If you will confess Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So that's, didn't say anything about getting on the ground and wallowing in the dirt and saying how bad a sinner I was. I was so ugly, I can't believe I did it. Oh, God, please forgive me. Because Jesus has already did that. But now, then you've got the before Christ. Now we got the after Christ. When it's after Christ, go to 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, after Christ, now I'm supposed to do something about this thing when I realize, look, I'm, Lord, because I've got a relationship with God now. Lord, I've missed you. I Holy Spirit has convicted me. The Word has convicted me. Someone who God sends to speak into my life has said a word to something, but I come aware. Now, once I become aware, then I deal with that. I deal with that. Because if I say and ignore it, I have no sin. I'm perfect. Everything's great. Then I'm a liar. Truth, God's not in me. And I deceive myself. But the scriptures simply say, it says if you'll confess your sin, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, he's faithful and he's just to forgive it. That's his MO. His MO is forgiveness. God's always into forgiveness. Oh, praise the Lord. God's always into it. He's faithful. He's just. He does the right. He'll give you all your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm told to confess it. I missed the mark after the new birth. And what does he do? He forgives it. But now let's look. There's this thing of the right now. The right now. You remember I said that in the right now, sometimes you don't even know how immature you are. Have you ever, don't lift your hands, but ever realized later, that was really not the right attitude. I was really not pleasing to the Lord in the right now. Well, that always used to worry me so much. What about right now? What about the right now? I mean, what if Jesus were to come in the right now and hey, what's going to happen to me? Oh, my Lord. Particularly when I was a youngster, and I just thought the whole thing about Christianity was try to be good as you could. So I thought, well, I don't know what. If I let one of those words slip out or one of those immature, actions or whatever as supposed to be a Christian, but am I going to miss the rapture? Will I go in the rapture? I don't know. I think the scaredest I ever been is one time coming home, nobody's at home, couldn't find anybody, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I know Jesus is coming, I've been left behind. Yeah, that's about the scariest I've ever been in my life. I didn't understand about this thing. What about those shortcomings while I'm growing? It's a good question. What about those shortcomings while I'm growing? Do they separate me from God? Sin separates us from God. What about that? Have I become just an old sinner? Am I in my ignorance, in my immaturity? Am I even my naivety? Have I become separated from God? Didn't even know it, lose my relationship with God and even salvation. There's some people tell you that's what happens. I'm just sorry, but that's it. So people go around living constantly as, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. And they live in sorry. Hello? They live in sorry. A total sin consciousness. Trying to be perfect for the Lord. Well, thank God for his word. Aren't you glad for his word? I'll write you there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, which I think is the last verse of that chapter, right? It's not? Is it, what does the 10 say then? What does 10 say?
If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay, still in the same line of thought, though. Drop down to chapter 2. See how they tie together. Now, we have a chapter there, but in, you know it originally, there wasn't any chapters in there. It was just a writing. John's writing to us. So what does he say then? He begins to answer for us, hallelujah, this question. And he lets us know right off the bat, God doesn't want us to sin. God doesn't want us to miss the mark of perfection. Amen. But we're not perfect. We haven't reached that yet. But then if we do, there needs to be something that God's, there has to be some plan if we do. Amen. And so let's see what it says. He says in verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone sins, here we go. Here's the answer. Oh, this is beautiful. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Jesus is there. Now let's get this. Wait a minute. What's going to happen here? I don't want you to sin. But if you do, you have an advocate. You have an advocate. Well, what's an advocate? An advocate is, you have in heaven right now an intercessor. You have a go-between. You have one right now that I'll use the word ignorance, or you're not informed. Even in that, you have one who enters a plea on your behalf in heaven. Glory to God. And you know what the plea is? He enters the plea of the blood. That's the plea. He enters the plea of the blood. And now notice verse 2. He himself is the propitiation. What does the propitiation mean? That's just a big old word. It means appeasing. He himself is the appeasing. He's there to appease this thing. Set it in order. It's okay. He's there. It means to atone. It means to expiate, or to compensate, to be the compensator, to make the payment. You know, he is there. Praise the Lord. To stand up as an advocate, intercessor, making the plea of the blood for the Father and all of heaven to see on your behalf, as you are being stupid and sinning when you ought not to be sinning and messing up and falling short. This doesn't give you a right to go sin, fall short, and do all that. But listen, hey, we haven't reached perfection yet. And it's a good possibility that 5 years from now, if you keep growing with the Lord, you're going to look back at your life right now, and there's going to be some things you said, oh my God, I cannot believe I thought that way, acted that way, did that thing. I cannot believe that. Lord, I'm so sorry. And he's going to say, it's okay. I forgive you. But, you know, I entered the plea of the blood a long time ago for you. So I covered you. You are covered. Hallelujah. You're covered even in those instances. Isn't that good news? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. Here I am. I'm sincerely a pursuer of Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. I missed the mark. What does the Lord say? God says, oh, yeah, there's Albert. He's not rejecting me. He's not being, he's not denying me. He's not blaspheming the Holy Ghost. He's just ignorant. Okay, he just doesn't. So let's help him. He's growing. And he's going to grow. So I'm here as his advocate. I'm here to enter the plea of the blood to cleanse him from sin. And all is going to be well. Praise the Lord. And when I then, this is the process, this way it works. Then at some point, many times, then we become aware. we become aware of missing the mark. And then what do? We do 1 John 1:9. Lord, I'm sorry. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that your word says you forgive me. Now, when you do that, you have to take another step. Because when you do that, God says, that's fine, I forget it. It's gone. We're not going to bring it up anymore. When you do that, you've got to forget it. You can't keep that in your mind. You cannot keep that old mentality of what a worthless, undeserving child, sinner, whatever you are. Because I can promise you, it will affect your spiritual growth. It will steal from you boldness to come before the throne of grace. It will steal from you the power to use your faith with confidence, knowing that God loves you. God's taking care of you. God has covered you. The blood it's a perpetual cleansing of the blood of Jesus as we pursue relationship with God and we pursue to grow in the Lord. Can I have an amen? So let me just give a summary and then I'll close. I intended to get farther tonight, but it's okay. Praise the Lord. I'm not going anywhere. Y'all come back and we'll get it again. So in order to grow spiritually, we have to take advantage of 1 John 1:9. We have to take advantage of 1 John 2:1-2. Get that scripture in your heart. Praise the Lord. And if you want to live free from the clutches or that weight of sin, then once we confess the sin, then we enter into a life of faith. We live trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ to perpetually cleanse us. And we have to make that decision to not hold on to the mental weights of those sins, because God has forgiven us. God has forgotten. Say that with me. God has forgiven and God has forgotten. Now what he wants you to do is forget what he's forgiven. Forget what he's forgiven. Praise the Lord. Amen. And listen, believers, quit throwing it up to your fellow believers what they did. I tell you, sometimes people live in condemnation because that's all they hear from everybody else. It's what a dirty worm they were. Yeah. So, well, they did it, and then they fell again, and then they fell. They're not your servant. They're God's. And they're answerable to God. That doesn't mean you put them in a place of responsibility and a place where you need a spiritually mature person to carry on something. No, but we don't condemn them either. It's not our place. Can I have an amen? So we forget what is behind. This is what Paul said. We forget our mistakes, our shame, our failures, and don't let your mind dwell on them. Don't let the devil hold you in embarrassment and shame of them, just because they will hinder your forward growth. Praise the Lord. If we don't forget, because God has forgiven, we cannot grow and mature, because we will remain in a prison of works. We're just not good enough. We just can't do it right. No matter how hard we try, we just don't make the mark. But praise the Lord, there's a plea being entered in heaven all the time for you. And it's by who? Who's doing it? Who's standing there for you? Jesus, the righteous. He is your advocate. Can you now understand even that he's your intercessor? Can you now even understand a little better of the role of Jesus in heaven? Praise the Lord. As he stands there, or his presence in heaven speaks, it's just continual speaks, the blood that's forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, we're talking about growing spiritually. We'll get into the next 5 or 6, 7 or 8. Whatever, next time, okay? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. We love you, Lord. And Father, there may be someone here tonight, and the devil just keeps reminding them, tormenting them with mistakes, problems, things of the past, sins. Some of them may even been, it may have been a knowing sin, but they've taken it to God, and Jesus has dealt with it. And so, Lord, I pray for their freedom. I pray for release. I pray release over them in the name of Jesus tonight through a revelation of the Word and a move and act of the Holy Spirit. And I give you praise for it, Father, and that they'll go free. Hallelujah. No more bondage of that weight or guilt or condemnation, because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. And we thank you for it. Amen. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. I hope you learned something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Glory to God. Our prayer partners are coming. Mary has some plan. If you need personal prayer, just come up after this and let them pray for you, okay? See you on Sunday, all right? Be blessed. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord.